The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Apparently, the poll numbers for the president are starting to improve pretty significantly.
Yeah, they look pretty good. There's a new poll out from Politico Morning Consult, which is, this is the first time in a while that the numbers have been this positive for Trump. They show 47% approval rating, which is really high for his, first year. Mm-hmm. It also shows for the first time that the Republicans are leading the Democrats on the generic ballot, which is in some ways more important just from the perspective of Trump's got a couple of years before he actually has to run for re-election, where the 2018 election's right around the corner. And that hasn't happened in a long time. But if you look at the Trump numbers specifically, he's at 47% in this poll. Now, this is just one poll, so you can't, you have outliers, right? It could just be an outlier. However, there's been pretty significant improvement for the last couple of months, really since tax reform happened. He was at mid-December, right before tax reform actually passed. He was at a 36.4% average approval rating, which was the lowest of his presidency. In the 2 months since then, it's risen from 36.4 to 41 on average. So, and his disapproval has dropped by 4 points. So he's improved by 4.5 points when it comes to approval rating, and dropped in his disapproval rating by 4 points. Pretty, it's hard to do when you're talking averages. And the fact that it's up to 41% puts him, it's still not great. Obviously, you'd like to be a lot higher than that if you could do it. But still, for Trump, it's one of the highest marks since very early on in his presidency, since about May. So he, highest numbers since May certainly has helped. I think, the tax reform package, I think, has helped quite a bit on that. I mean, every day you get a nice little, another story of a company. There's yet another one just yesterday that, hey, we're going to give $15 an hour to our employees with no law, with no Bernie Sanders coming in and saying we have to guarantee $15 an hour to everyone. No massive economic reformation when it comes to, giving giant minimum wage hikes that hurt businesses. They're just deciding to do it on their own because they got a nice tax cut.
If the economy stays strong, it's going to be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for Democrats to win the presidency in 2020. I mean, a lot can happen between now and then.
Yeah, certainly.
But
yeah.
They released yesterday a list. The Hill had a list of 36 potential Democrat candidates. I went through their list on Pat Gray Unleashed. I can't see any of them beating Donald Trump in 2020. None of them.
Yeah, because you can look at the fundamentals of the polling of the Trump presidency as a Democrat and be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, look, the guy is, historically low when it comes to approval ratings. Especially low when you compare it to how the economy is doing. Usually when a president has an economy like this, his approval ratings in the 50s or 60s, and his are in the 30s and 40s. So you can look at that and have optimism until you look at your own candidates.
Yeah, until you look and you see Bernie Sanders, Kirsten Gillibrand, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, none of these people, none of them, I don't think have a shot at beating Trump.
Well, Cory Booker has tears of rage, though. And he can bring them out at any time.
And Oprah has already said, No, I'm not doing it. That's Oprah's not me. She's not running.
No.
Eric Holder throwing his hat into the police. Stop. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Eric Holder.
No, he's a uniform. I mean, the only people who know about him think he's terrible.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And you think Trump wouldn't use Fast and Furious against that guy?
Oh.
In a heartbeat. He'd be done before he even got started. And then people like Julian Castro. The former mayor of San Antonio? The HUD secretary?
They've been trying to groom him for a while, though.
They have. They keep trying to push him down our throats, and nobody seems to be eating it. So, I think Trump's in a good position to have two terms.
It's tough to tell this early on.
It is.
The economy can obviously switch around. But again, fundamentally, it comes down to the Democrats coming up with someone who could possibly be elected.
Right.
And they do not seem to be good at that.
Right.
And
they're still not even throwing Al Gore out there as a possibility. Out of 36 candidates, he's not one of them.
If Gore was going to run, though, he would have run.
True.
I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have against Hillary. I don't know. But I mean, if you go back, when is the last time, other than Barack Obama, when have they had an even competent politician? And again, that's not, I'm not saying I believe Barack Obama was a competent president. I don't think he was, and he was a terrible president in my view. But
he was popular
at least,
with Democrats.
Yeah, so. And you know, he did pretty well in the polling. He could give a speech here and there.
Yeah.
You know, he won twice and won twice relatively easily. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, when you look at the, you know, how close elections have been. But who else put out John Kerry? I mean,
terrible.
Just absolutely terrible. When's the last? Seriously, you have Bill Clinton. I mean, go back to 1976. Right? You go back before that. You go back to the 60s. You go back to JFK. Who have they put out there that was even could potentially win? Now, they got a win out of Carter, but that was handed to them. That was handed to them. Outside of that, you have Clinton and Obama and Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, not Hillary.
And they were bad candidates. I mean, Bill Clinton had scandals as soon as he got into the race.
Yeah, Barack Obama had a historically low approval rating as well. People like to think of him as a really popular figure. He wasn't.
Right.
His average approval rating was in the 40s. I mean, low to mid 40s for most of his presidency. He was not a popular president.
Not at
all. He just won two elections.
Yeah.
And he did it. He pulled out every stop to do it, as we saw.
He was a good politician.
Yeah. And look, again, I think you could say 2008 was handed to them. They had, he was running against John McCain in the middle of a financial crisis. Well, of course. Remember John McCain's quote from that election. The economy's not really my strong point.
And we might be in Iraq for 100 years.
McCain is universally terrible as a candidate.
Yes.
And so in some ways, I think like you can compare McCain to Hillary Clinton as the quality of a candidate. They're both really bad candidates. Like, you know, like Hillary Clinton is a generic liberal, I think, in many ways, as far as her viewpoints go. And I think when I say liberal, pretty leftist. I mean, you know, significantly leftist. That being said, she's just a really bad candidate. Where, like, you know, John McCain is a very moderate Republican slash basically a Democrat half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also a terrible candidate. You know, Barack Obama. Now, Mitt Romney, I think, was a tougher battle. It was shown in the results, obviously, that it was a tougher battle. But Romney wasn't, I don't think, an utterly fantastic candidate either, to be frank. And then, you know, you have this last election where, you know, Hillary Clinton was horrible in every measurable way. Horrible. And if they can't do better than Hillary Clinton, anybody's going to beat them.
Yeah.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
They could run anybody on the right and they would beat them.
As long as President Trump stays out of his own way. But I mean, but we have things like Michael Cohen admitting his lawyer admits that they made the payment to Stormy Daniels, the porn star.
Yeah,
just admitted it.
Yeah, because there was a question about this, and we've done this before, where it's like, well, if it's true, does it matter?
Yeah,
you know,
we talked about that a couple weeks ago,
and it was with Stormy Daniels, wasn't
yes.
it? About Stormy Daniels.
Yes,
if it's
it was.
True, does it matter? At that point, we didn't know it was true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, is saying that he did this. He is saying that he gave $130,000 to this porn star.
He is not saying necessarily that Trump and Stormy Daniels had an affair, though.
No.
Right? I mean, they might claim, and I haven't heard his claim on this. I just heard that he admitted to the payment. They could say, yeah, well, we just wanted to keep her false claims out of the news.
Right. And I think that's where they will go. Right.
Yeah.
They do have a statement that's signed that says that she didn't, you know, do this, which is apparently part of the settlement when they gave her.
And she says she doesn't know where that came from. It wasn't her.
That is kind of what she says. She does not.
Yeah.
She says, it doesn't look like my signature,
is
what she said. Look, the bottom line here is I don't think this sort of stuff makes any difference to people at this point, you know, which is amazing.
It doesn't.
If you think back to like Bill Clinton, for example, who was a guy everyone knew was kind of like a womanizer, and he had a lot of shady stuff in his life when it came to women. If we had on record an $130,000 payment from a close associate, a longtime lawyer, and Cohen is saying he did this out of his own pocket, which the reason he admitted this is because it would have been it's potentially a campaign finance violation. If you give $130,000, which is above the maximum, right, to help a candidate, even if it's indirectly, they can try to come after you for the campaign finance side of it. So the idea is here that he had to admit it So therefore, they could get out of the campaign finance problem. That's why he's coming out and saying, yes, I gave $130,000 to this woman. But can you imagine if that happened to Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, his attorney, had paid $130,000 to a porn star? I just think that society as a whole is already priced all this in with Trump.
We have, yeah.
And I don't think anybody cares about this at all.
And our entire moral foundation, I think, has shifted and cracked because people just don't care anymore. We used to say that character mattered. We used to say that things like this mattered. They don't seem to the right anymore. They don't seem to matter.
Well, and to be fair, there was the only side ever defending that was the right. You know, like it's
exactly.
Like, you know, people have made this point before. Comedians have made this point in that there's a relationship between men and women where men want to hook up with women. And women would say are the ones who actually have a little restraint, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, guys mm-hmm. on the first date are there. They don't need any romancing. They don't need any relationship. They're just there. And for, I don't know, until fairly recently, right? Like women would be like, no, not on the first date, right? Not on the second date. Now we're swiping right and left. And there's not one side of the argument that's saying, no, you know, no thanks anymore. Right. Like,
yeah, nobody's saying
or,
no.
Wait, no, we're going to wait. Let's play it slow. There's no let's play it slow there on either side of the argument. So we just careen very quickly towards the side of we just hook up on the first date after 25 minutes after we swipe whatever direction you're supposed to swipe. And that's kind of what's happened here is for a long time, the left was pushing us into morals. Come on, they're stupid. And the right was saying morals, we must have them. And now both of them are saying, neither, it doesn't really matter. So there's no one really pushing that way anymore, including, you know, a good chunk of our religious culture mm-hmm. doesn't seem to really care about it anymore either. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't affect the tax plan. This doesn't affect, you know, did Susan Rice do something really shady before Obama left office? Doesn't affect the day-to-day policy stuff that we talk about. But we should always at least stop and pause and note, mm-hmm. note for the record that we've changed in a significant way. The Overton window has been pushed to a point where accusations and admissions of large payments to porn stars no longer affect our daily discourse.
Ah, so he paid a porn star $130,000 to keep quiet. Ah, that's really where we are, isn't it? That's where we are.
It's where we are, and I don't know. Is it important to note that? I mean,
should we at least admit to ourselves
that it's occurred?
I think it's notable. It's notable. 888, whatever the number is.
But again, you know, but we're quite bad. We started this break with Donald Trump at a high for his approval rating.
47%.
On the same day, his attorney has said that he paid $130,000 to a porn star.
To pay off a porn star.
They're in the middle of this Michael or the Rob Porter scandal, right?
Yeah.
Like, this has not been you would argue that this has not been necessarily a great week for the Trump administration.
And he just hits a new high.
It's a new high.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, well, there you go.
That's great.
There you go.
All right. Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.